I went to church as a child, but when I was 8 years old, my dad had a massive heart attack, and then he got, after that, he couldn't stand to be in crowds of people. So we quit going to church on a regular basis. And so when, again, as I grew and got wilder and wilder, like I said, I just went way off base. I didn't know very much about the Bible, but Satan made sure that I knew one thing, the verse where it says that the only unforgiven sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When I would try to pray, I would hear, it was like we was in a room and I'm trying to talk to God, and it was like Satan was over here and he would start lashing out these awful, blasphemous things. And I heard it in my voice. Okay, it scared me to death. I mean, because and he's sitting there telling you, Satan's saying, you're better off not to even go there because you're just condemning yourself by trying to pray. Well, I followed that suggestion for years. And then I finally got to this place, and I told my friend James about it. And I told him, I said, you're probably going to think I'm nuts if I share this with you, but I got to tell somebody. Well, I told him, and he said, Joe, he said, I don't think you're crazy. You know, he said, I don't know of anybody personally that's ever experienced this. He said, but I can tell you what it is. He said, it's strictly Satan. He said, he is trying to, keep you from making that commitment. He said, you know, Jesus died for you. He loves you. And he said, if you want to get out of this, all you have to do is ask him. I said, it's as simple as that. Well, I it didn't make sense to me. I mean, because I struggled with it so bad. I wanted to be saved, but I'm thinking, why would he want to save me? You know, like I'm sure that some of you may have felt the same thing when we came to Christ. Well, I had finally, over weeks of just being completely miserable, I made up my mind. I said, all right, I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to stop until I can talk to God, because my prayers, you know, lasted about two words, and then I shut it down right then as soon as I heard this stuff from the evil one. Well, that night I went in my bedroom, and Regina was up. She was down there watching TV or something, and I had not said anything to her, and I went and laid down in my bed, and I start praying. And the battle began. I mean, Satan starts hammering, and I'm crying out to God, you know, please, Lord, I want to talk to you. You know, I've not talked to you since I was a child. I want, you know, make him stop. Well, after, I don't know how long it was, but I cried out to him, and it was like the Lord opened the door and shoved Satan out, and then it was just like this. It was total silence. And he said, now, what do you want to say? And I, you know, I talked to God and I told him, I said, Lord, I want you to save me. You know, I want to be yours. I want to be born again. Well, at that time, I had such a peace came over me, and I was just laying there. It was like I had just come back from war, which I had. I was completely exhausted. And I'm laying there in my bed, and I'll never forget, I'm sitting here looking at a little light that was coming through the door of my bedroom, and I was just sitting there just with my eyes fixed on that light, just worshiping the Lord and just thanking him. And then all of a sudden from my head, and it started at my head and it went all the way to my feet, and then it came back up, and when it did, every emotion in my body and my being came out, and all I could do was praise and thank him. And these years later, I think I know what he was doing. He was cleaning his house. He was pushing Satan out, and he was coming in. He set me free that night. Okay? Well, we started the church at the little Christian church. We joined it. And, you know, as new Christians, you know, I mean, I was fired up. I had an experience with Christ that, you know, some people say they've never had to that degree, but it's a feeling that I hope that all of you have experienced similar, because as you know, there's nothing like it. Well, as time went on at the little Christian church, we were growing and became more active, and eventually, like I said, we joined a church in '88. I started teaching Sunday school. And then in 96, they nominated me to be a deacon in the church. Well, through this time, and Regina and I were growing, and but we felt like there was something more. We felt like that we were missing something. We knew that there was something else that God wanted to do in us and through us. We knew that we were not experiencing all that God wanted us to have. So we were praying, you know, Lord, we believe, and still do today, that God has a place for us to be. He knows, He wants to plug us in somewhere. Well, we were crying out to the Lord, you know, Lord, just lead us where You want us to be. Well, He would not give us permission to leave the church where we were. It was so wild, because this went on over a couple of 3 years. I would come to a place and ask Regina, well, I'm about ready to go start visiting some churches. And she would say, I can't go right now. It's not time, you know. Well, a few weeks later, she said, okay, I think I'm ready to go. And I said, can't do it. You know, I don't know why, but we never could get on the same page. And this rocked on, like I said, for 2 or 3 years. And then we had a very unpleasant thing that happened in our church. And I won't go into a lot of details, but our pastor was a very godly man. I mean, he was a dear friend of ours. Love him to this day. And he was wronged in our church. Basically, he was ousted because they were wanting something, want something fresh, something new, which is, you know, in that denomination, that's not something that's unusual for them to ask the preacher to leave and get another one. But what I said, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do this, and it was the wrong way. It was not prayerfully considered. It was a group that decided to do it, and they did it, and he was out. Well, at that point, then we knew why God wouldn't let us go at that time. So we were free then to move on. So we're crying out to the Lord, asking where He wants us to be. Well, Mac Martin, as you all know, he was the same. He had to go too. And that was a very stressful situation for him as well, because he was raised in that church. He asked a question. He called us one night. He said, will you guys consider visiting a church with me and Suzette and Selma, Christ the King? And I'm going to be honest with you. This would have been the church that I would have visited. You know, I mean, I just straight up, because everybody knew y'all were a bunch of kooks. you know, the little church where we went was very conservative, you know, and I didn't know. I knew there was something more. I felt like there was. But you know how it is when word gets spread around about stuff. But, but you know, Mike said, you guys have been to some Pentecostal churches and stuff. And he said, y'all been around some speaking in tongues and stuff. He said, I never have. I've never been out of Plantersville. And he said, so I want to know when it's time to run. I said, we don't know that much about it either. We played some special music before, and I said, I was cocked and ready to run a couple times. But, so we said, sure, we'll go. But I wanted to share something with you. The one that mentioned it to Mac was Rollin. And Rollin, he got to know Rollin through Habitat for Humanity, and Rollin was telling him about the church and all the ministries of the people in the church, not necessarily with the clergy and the church itself, but the people in the church and what they were doing, the ministries he was talking about. He mentioned Steve and his rest home ministry that he had, and several things. And Mike just said, he said, man, I want to be a part of that. He said, that sounds good to me. So anyway, we said, sure, we'll come. Well, when we got here, we knew, Regina and I knew as soon as we walked in the door, this is it. This is where God has led us. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, when we're sitting there, I saw little Miss Jackie come in there with that fishbowl and that candle, offering it up to the Lord. And I told Matt, you know, one of my phrases, I about yodeled, man. I just broke my heart. You know, that's one of the most beautiful things that offerings I'd ever seen to the Lord. And then as time grew, I knew that this church was charismatic, and I didn't know very much about. Now, Regina, as y'all know, is a little bit more open than I am. You know, she doesn't mind stepping out. Okay, that's a good thing. Whereas me, you know, the Word tells us to test the spirits. Well, I test them and taste them, and you know, I check them out, you know, to extremes. But anyway, when we came in and we felt very comfortable with it, you know, and I felt right off the bat that the discipline that was from the bishop and the clergy, that they had the discernment and the discipline to keep order, okay? I knew the scripture. I mean, I knew I had studied about the gifts. In fact, I was taught that the gifts were for back in the day, and the more I studied and the more I searched the Word, I knew that that was, I couldn't find that, you know, the doctrine that I was taught, you know, it's not there, okay? So when we came in, again, we were just completely blown away. It was, the way I can best describe it is like coming out of a desert where you're dried and parched and starving and dying of thirst. And when we came in here, it was like we just fell in this pool of water and we were just being filled. I mean, that's the best way I know how to describe it. And it was the most awesome thing. And it's a safe place. You know, that's something I've always considered this. It's a safe place. Okay. When I come in here and I get juiced up, I get filled up. It's awesome. Okay, well, this is rocked on, and the bishop asked me how long we've been here, and I said, well, I think November, I think, will be 8 years. Well, here just a few weeks ago, it's almost like I woke up. It's like I've been asleep for the last 8 years. Okay? The Lord has spoken so many things to me in the last few weeks, I can't even... There's no way that I can share them all with you. You know, the time just wouldn't permit. I think I've got this condensed down to about 2 hours what I've got so far. But, no, I am so just blown away. But what the Lord showed me in my vision when I was up here talking, it was where I have been. Okay, there's been a lot of things in there. This is one thing I wanted to share before I go any further, is something that when the Lord set me free that night, when He saved me, He cleansed me, and He purged all the stuff out, and He filled me back up with His love. That's all I knew, was Jesus' love, and He filled me up. Okay, but through the years, I've allowed Satan, through fear, to render me ineffective in my witness. Okay? I have been scared to death. And again, like I said, if I had tried to do this a while back, y'all would have thought I was speaking in tongues, trying to, because I couldn't do it. You know, I've taught Sunday school and I've taught industrial hydraulics and stuff in front of a group of men, but to do this is a totally different thing for me. And it's much better. But, what happened a few weeks ago, the Lord kind of took me back to that place in 1988 where He set me free. He healed me of this fear thing. It's like with music, you know, scare me to death. I've told Matthew, I mean, I've tried to play my guitar up there and I got sweat dripping off my hands. I can't even play. And I want to be able to do my best for Jesus. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not a speaker. But I am an evangelist because that's what He's called us all to be. And I want to be what He wants me to be, the best that I can be. And something that the Lord has been speaking to me about, and I wanted to share with you, Bishop, it's been amazing how the Lord has brought to remembrance what you've been telling us, what the Lord has been speaking through you. And one of the things you said one night, you said, it's not, as your pastor, it's not my goal for y'all to be, for us to have the greatest or the best worship group around. And it's not to have the most gifted people around. It's not to have the most beautiful movement team around. He said, my desire for you as a pastor is for you to be lovesick followers of Christ. Well, he was speaking the heart of Christ, because that is the heart of Christ, is for us to be lovesick followers of him. But it's not just our love for him, it's the love. You know, that's something I was talking about when I woke up here a few days ago. I realized that what I was doing is I was coming in here and getting fed. I was fat and happy. Okay, I was soaking this up. I'm coming in here and I'm taking it all in and enjoying it, and that's the end of it. Okay, when I go out those doors, I'm not going to the next step. Okay, I'm not fulfilling that great commission that God has called me to. He's not called us here just to come and get fat. He's not called us here just to come and pile up and enjoy it. Because God's not going to withhold his love from us. Okay, we can come here and we can get fed. We're going to be blown away, you know, through the worship and everything. But we've got to, I'm speaking about Joey here. This is what he is speaking to my heart. Okay. I left my first love for a while. Even though I was here and I was being filled and I was being blessed, I got my priorities out. Okay. The love of Jesus is the beginning. And I've worked in technical things all my working career. In anything we do in life, we know there's fundamentals. You start with the first step and you move on after that first step, and the next step's bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, in Christ, the first step, the first fundamental is the big one. And this is love. After that, if we miss the first one, the rest of it is for naught. If you will, look with me, 1 Corinthians 13. Starting in verse 1. And Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Well, I'm not a, you know, the Lord has blessed me with my prayer language. And I know that the Lord has used me in spite of myself getting in the way. But he has not been able to use me the way that he wants to use me. That he wanted to use me and wants to use me in the future. It's because I got my things a little bit out. I was not putting his love first. And what brought me to Christ in 1988 was a man loving me. You know, that's all he did, was just love me every day. I mean, he was my friend. And I've come to that place where I want the love of Jesus to flow through me in such a way that everybody that's close to me gets wet. That's my heart. I wanted to share something with you. I said I was going to bring my watch. I think I'm under 2 hours. I was looking at or listening to a song the other day that I told Regina. I said, it blows my mind. How that's something that the Lord has been speaking through so many things to me. It's just, I was telling Matt earlier, there's never been a time in my life where God has shown me so much through everything. I mean, I wept. I've been weeping for days. I mean, and it's good. Bishop, you know, you've been telling us about this call to repentance. That's a good thing. It's tough. It's tough sometimes, but it's good. And we've got to do that in order to go to the next level. When something that the Lord is speaking to me about, you know, when we say we're on that mountain, and that's kind of, again, where I've been for the last few years. I mean, I've gotten on a mountain, and I was not willing to go to the next level, okay? And, Bishop, you've told us, you said, you know, you can't sit still. You have to move forward. I mean, and you all know that's something he's been telling us, and he's been speaking from God's heart in what he's trying to share with, if nobody else but me, is to press on. You can't stop. If you stop, you're going to start backing up. Well, that's what I did. I have backed up. And I thought I was doing good because, again, I was fat and happy. I'm coming in here and I'm soaking it up. But I'm not getting it. I've not been doing what I'm supposed to. Again, the fear thing is something, again, that the evil one has bombarded me with through the years. And, again, he's rendered me ineffective in a lot of things. My personality, you know, I've shared with a good friend of mine that's got this just very gentle-spirited man that, you know, that everybody that knows him loves him. And I told him the other day, I said, man, I've envied you. It's Father Craig's cousin, and in fact, he's a lot like Father Craig. I told him, I said, I envy your, not in a bad way, but just that personality. That's what I wish that I had. You know, I wish that I was that kind of man where when people knew me that they were drawn to me. And I wish I had that type of personality. And the Lord, he spoke to my heart and he let me know that, you know, Joey, I didn't make you like Danny or like Father Craig or like other men with that type of personalities. And like Nolan, if you remember, brother, a word I had for you, then that's something, I'm a man of few words as far as that, but that's something, that's a gift that you have, son. The gentle spirit that God put in you is a gift. And, you know, it's a sweet thing to have, because when a man like myself, you know, a little rough around the edges and struggle with doing what I'm doing now, which I'm not struggling now, I'm telling you. If y'all get too tired, you can cut the lights off when you way out. But now, I'm telling you, I can't say enough. I mean, I'm blown away. But I wanted to share, I'm losing my train of thought. And I told Regina I can make a note. I either have to say what's on my heart or read it off a piece of paper, and I can't do that. The mountain experience, and I started talking a while ago about this song that I heard. It's by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and it's "The Mountain's" the name of the song. We think about the mountain experiences about being up there, we're high, and you know the Lord is really blessing us. Well, look at it from the standpoint of our spiritual maturity. And I just wanted to read this, just the words of this song with you. It ministered to me so much that, because this is it. I want to build a house up on this mountain way up high where the peaceful waters flow to quench my thirsty soul. My faith is strengthened by all that I see. You make it easy for me to believe up on this mountain. I would love to live on this mountain and keep the pain of living life so far away, but I know I can't stay. I said I'd go, Lord, wherever you lead, for where you are is where I most want to be, and I can tell we're headed for the valley. My faith is strengthened by all that I've seen, and so, Lord, I pray you help me remember what you've shown me up on the mountain. And it says to, you bring me up here on this mountain for me to rest and learn and grow. And I see the truth up on the mountain as I carry it to the world far below. So as I go down to the valley, knowing that you are going to go with me, this is my prayer, Lord. Help me to remember what you've shown me up on the mountain. So I guess what the Lord is speaking to me is in my spiritual walk, where I am, where I have been, I've been happy. I've been fat and happy. I've gotten a place and I've kind of hung around. I've stayed there. But in our spiritual walk, like the bishop said, you can't stop. If you stop, you're going backwards. Well, the mountains, as we go to that mountain peak, as we know, we're at a plateau in our spiritual walk. If we stop moving there, we're going to start sliding back down the hill. And lessons learned there, we're going to have to relearn again at some point. Okay, when we go down in the valley, we're experiencing things that may be uncomfortable for us. But we know that God's right there with us. But when we go to the top of that next mountain, it's going to be a little higher than the one that we just left. And it's a never-ending thing. And I will never say that I get it. I finally get it. Because if I make that statement, then I'm saying I've got it. And I ain't got it. I'm getting it to this. I may have completed one leg of the journey. It's a long way to go. This last verse of this song is the good one. It says, I cherish these times up on the mountain, but I can leave this place because I know someday you'll take me home to live forever on my mountain. Amen.